Hotel Check-In.
We are indeed off to Melbourne to take a look at one of the Victorian capital's most majestic buildings, known affectionately as the Duchess of Spring Street. It is the Hotel Windsor. This imposing Renaissance revivalist building has presided over Melbourne's street life since 1884, and it's touched many people's lives in the process. It's hosted a who's who of national and international guests over the years, from the Queen Mother to Catherine Hepburn to Margaret Thatcher. Joining me tonight for Hotel Check-In is Kenneth Park, an arts consultant, tour guide and lecturer. Hi, Kenneth. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hello, Suzanne. Nice to be here.
So take us back to the early days. It wasn't called the Windsor when it was built, was it?
No, it was actually called the Grand Hotel, and it was built at the time when Melbourne was really booming, and, of course, the expression marvellous Melbourne, which was actually coined by an Englishman called Augustus Sala. He just couldn't believe how Melbourne was such a vibrant place. And the Windsor is really a reminder of those boom years. And it opened in the 1880s, as you said. It operated for a few years as a licensed hotel. The developer was a guy called George Nipper, but he quickly sold it on to another man called James Munro and his partner Balfour. And it operated as a hotel, and then they decided to turn it into a temperance hotel. So
this is the era where there's this big push for, you know, basically alcohol to be, you know, banned in some areas, and then hotels not to necessarily serve it. Now, James Munro was obviously very much in favour of the temperance movement. Is it true that he actually burnt the hotel's licence in public?
Yes, the story is that he burnt the licence just inside the front door. There's several different versions, but yes, he did burn the license. He was quite an entrepreneurial chap, but later on had some troubles financially, and so he didn't stay long with the hotel. But the license came back in the late 1890s, right in the period when, of course, we were having a move towards federation. So it was a great spot for those working with the politicians and the lawyers to actually work on the Constitution, have all these meetings. In fact, they do say that many of the finest clauses of the Australian Constitution were drafted in the Windsor Hotel, perhaps helped along with the lovely glass of whiskey or two.
So, Kenneth, let's just quickly cover that period between when James Munro burnt the hotel's licence, and you said it got its licence back, I think, in the 1890s. So what was it in the interim?
It was a coffee palace. So basically a very grand building, and had wonderful public reception rooms, etc. And you stayed in the hotel, but you really couldn't drink unless you sort of smuggled something in. But really, in a sense, the hotel needed to have its license. And once it was relicensed, it went from strength to strength. And, of course, very important at the time of federation, and very important for most of the last century. And, of course, today it really still kicks along very, very nicely, because it's just down the road from the Princess Theatre, which has been there since the 1880s as well. And when Phantom of the Opera was on at the Princess, everyone wanted to stay at the Windsor and then go up and see the show, then come back and stay in the grand rooms of the Windsor Hotel.
Sounds like a pretty good night. So when did it get called the Windsor Hotel? When was its name changed?
It happened in the 1920s. You might recall that the royal family changed their name at the time of World War I. So, and in fact, there was a visit to the hotel by the Prince of Wales and his wife at the time. Sorry, the Prince of Wales, I apologise. And they had a dinner or a function there, and they decided to rename the hotel the Windsor, capitalising on the royal name. So it was then on known as the Windsor Hotel. So the Grand in the 1800s and the Windsor from the 1920s.
So it's had several large renovations over the years. Tell us about some of the changes, because I was reading, Kenneth, that it had this amazing ceiling, and then at one point everyone went, nah, we don't need an amazing ceiling, we'll just kind of cover that up.
Yeah, well, actually, the renovations, lots of architects and builders worked on it, and they went back to they found something like 10 or 12 different colour schemes in some of the rooms. But they certainly went back to the fabric of the building, and the grand ballroom, which was used as a dining room as well in the early days, was brought back to its splendour. There's the magnificent tea lounge. And the building also expanded along Spring Street. So it's actually taking up one full-size block, the front of that block, looking onto Spring Street. And across the road, you've got Parliament House. The hotel's been changed over the years. And even though it's an old building, it's got all the mod cons. You've got your internet. You've got all those sorts of things in the building. And it's a very popular and actually has in great demand with people, especially for anyone going to the theatre, because at the moment we've got The Hobbit on, and that's really Harry Potter, I should say. That's really attracting big crowds, and there, a lot of them are staying at the hotel.
I would love it if anyone happens to be staying in the Hotel Windsor tonight and would SMS us and say, look, here I am. One of my texters says, the irony of it having been a temperance hotel. Sam says, have you ever heard of a one-time roguish, somewhat illegal resident of the Windsor called Captain Peter Jansen, who Sam says had alcohol flowing through his veins? Do you know about this Peter Jansen?
Yes, Peter Jansen is quite a character. And he lived in the towers of the Windsor for many, many years. And let us say he led a very eccentric and highly individual life and was well known for his home renovations and also for his big parties. And I can remember once I was talking to somebody, I was speaking at a function, and he says, I can remember coming back from the MCG and we're all very, very merry. And we raided the kitchens and stole some chickens. This is going back into the 60s and 50s, of course. And we managed to get up to the towers, and we were very well inebriated. We had to crawl up the stairs, and I threw open the door, and there was a tiger or a lion looking at me right in the eye. So it was quite an eccentrically furnished apartment on the top of the hotel.
Oh, from there, I thought you were going to have a real tiger in there.
No, nothing like that. No. And actually, today it's the gymnasium.
Oh my goodness! And so, Sam says it was an illegal resident, what do you mean? Did he not pay rent, or what was going on?
I've got to be very careful here. Now, he struck a deal with the hotel to stay there, and he would look after the space and make a few changes. But I think in the end, I think the best way for me to describe it is I think they agreed it was, it was time for him to move on. And but he's still got a property in the city, and he pops up. He was a great character at the races, particularly the Melbourne Cup.
Okay. Kenneth Park is with us. He is a tour guide and a hotel historian joining us to tell us about the Windsor Hotel in Melbourne in Hotel Check-In. Now, which royalty have stayed there? I understand a king has stayed at the hotel.
Well, there's been a whole collection of royals that have popped in there. We can talk about Prince Edward. We can talk about Prince Michael of Kent. Quite a lot, any royals that used to come to Melbourne in the old days, the Windsor was a great place for anyone to actually host them. And we've had quite a few Maharajas, remembering that the Oberoi Company ran the hotel for many, many years, and then they eventually bought it and did a lot of renovations, especially on the infrastructure of the building. But the list of guests is just incredible. You've got everyone from the King of Boxing, Muhammad Ali. You've got Rudolf Nureyev, Margaret Fontaine, Sir Robert Menzies. They all stayed there. Barry Humphreys once stayed in the hotel. I did hear this story that he actually left the hotel and returned some months later and opened the wardrobe in his suite, and he found his neatly pressed suit waiting for him. Such was the service at the Windsor. And in fact, Robert Heltman, the very famous ballet dancer and choreographer, he started going to the Windsor as a small boy, and he was always welcomed as, welcome, Master Heltman. And when he came as an old man, the doorman still greeted him as Master Heltman.
Oh, how gorgeous.
So the staff got to know the people who stayed regularly in the hotel. Menzies and his wife Patty, they stayed there quite regularly when they came to Melbourne, and they were always welcomed with something like, welcome home. And Menzies really had wonderful relationships with the staff. And I did read somewhere that he actually was once seen wandering through the foyer, and they had a newspaper stand in those days, and he went to find some money, and the footman came past and said, don't give that man any credit. He doesn't have a job. He was between ministries at the time, which I thought was very amusing. But I don't know, my favourite Menzies stories, and one has to take these stories with a grain of salt, but I think this sounds like Menzies, because he had at times a very cheeky personality, and he would regularly enjoy a glass of whiskey at the end of the day, and he pushed the buzzer, and one of the waitresses came up with the drinks trolley and went into the suite, and she had to wait until he made his whiskey, and then she took the trolley away. On this occasion, he turned to her and said, "Taste it." And the woman said, I'm on duty. At that stage, I think he was still Mr. Menzies. "I'm on duty, Mr. Menzies." "No, taste it." So she begrudgingly took the glass of whiskey and had a sip and coughed a bit. And then he took it back and she said, he looked at her and her eyes were sort of watery. He said, "I'm just checking to see that no one's trying to poison me."
Oh, lucky mate.
It's wonderful. There's lots of stories like that. It's just, Dame Joan Sutherland used to stay there regularly. Daniel Radcliffe stayed there, famous for Harry Potter. You think about Sir Laurence Olivier and those people, that they just love staying. The English cricket team stayed there as well. Sometimes there was noise in the alleyways, but I think people were trying to make them have sleepless nights so they wouldn't perform as well.
Now, is that why there's a cricketer's bar at the hotel?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, the cricketer's bar is a well-known bar in Melbourne. And it's a very, even though the hotel's really, really grand in its appearance, it's a very welcoming hotel. And you'll see local, in fact, it's my local hotel. I just go down the road if I want to have a drink in the bar. It's got lots of cricket memorabilia. And it's a real reminder of the days when the English cricket team used to come to Australia and they would traditionally stay at the Windsor.
Do they still when they come?
No, I don't believe they do. I think they stay, a lot of these teams and singers and stars or whatever, it's all parts of deals and things like that. But they still get, the hotel still has a very distinguished guest list. And it's funny, sort of, and people have memories as well. As you said right at your intro, the hotel has a very special meaning to a lot of people. I can remember I was speaking once and this charming chap came up to me and he said, "Oh, yes, my wife and I celebrated our first night together, our honeymoon at the Windsor Hotel." I said, "Well, how very special. What a lovely memory." He said, "Oh, it was terribly embarrassing. We had to go down in the morning and I had to confess to the general manager that we broke the bed." You get lots of funny stories like that. But the hotel is very accommodating and warm and welcoming.
Oh, dear. Now, I want you to tell me, there's a story apparently about a famous picture of Malcolm Fraser in bed. What's that all about?
Well, if you go into the Windsor Hotel, anyone listening from around Australia, if you go into the Windsor Hotel, in the corridor, there's quite a lot of historical photographs. And there's a wonderful photograph of Malcolm Fraser in bed holding up a newspaper with the headline, "Mal Slides Back," and it's after one of his election victories. And Malcolm Fraser was a very tall chap, and there he's sitting in his bed with the newspaper with that headline. It's a lovely piece of press photography. It's quite marvellous.
This one is from Michael and Kate at Mount Cola, who say, in the late 70s, Alan Carruthers was the general manager of the Windsor Hotel, and the Cricketers Bar housed lots of memorabilia, and a lot of that was actually his.
Yes, that's correct. Now, it's very interesting. The memorabilia did belong to people like Mr. Carruthers, but also the hotel had some possession. People also loaned items to the Cricketers Bar as well. So the displays have changed over the years. It's really quite wonderful too, because for many years, when the hotel was saved from the Wreckers Ball, and of course, many of the great hotels of Australia and indeed the world had been knocked down over the years, this hotel survived. It was run by the Oberoi Company, which is an Indian-based hotel company, very high-end group of hotels. And they, of course, India has a real passion for cricket, so it was quite a nice sort of connection to have. But they do still celebrate the Cricketers Bar. It's a very important part of the hotel. So, and of course, the other thing, at the other end, you've got the famous Windsor high tea, and that's another great experience that people enjoy as well.
I know someone's just SMS'd in saying the tea is great. I have to go. Well, I will next time I'm in Melbourne. Thank you very much. Now, here's something else I spotted, that the actor Keith Michelle apparently one night went round and down and demanded the complete works of Shakespeare.
That's something I haven't heard. So, well, that wouldn't surprise me because the guests were very, very, very funny because they developed, if they stayed for a few days or even a few weeks, especially if they were acting, in 1948, the old Vic Theatre Company, that's when Laurence Olivier came out, and they and Vivian Leigh, they really found the Windsor a great place to be. In fact, they preferred to rehearse in the hotel than at the theatre because it was much more comfortable. And so you pick up these little stories along the way. Sir Harry Seacom once came into the foyer and went over to the reception. The reception said, "I have a telegram for you." And sir, and he said, "Oh, really?" And he picked it up. And quick as a flash, he said, "I wonder what it says. Probably go home, you old Welsh bastard." So you know, they developed that lovely rapport. I do love all the stories because they sort of bring the place to life. I mean, you've got Omar Sharif, Sir Jackie Stewart stayed there. As I said, Rudolf Nureyev, and he really enjoyed being in the hotel. He liked to have steaks which were basically just warmed, very, very blue. It's certainly got a lot of famous people over the years.
Yeah. Now, I know you take tours around the hotel, Kenneth, and obviously you've got no shortage of stories to tell, but you can tell us about some of the strangest things that guests have left in hotel rooms, and one of them in particular is some crocheted items.
Yes. Now, this could be apocryphal, but anyway, I listen for the stories from people, and I often get asked if I do a speech or something like that, what's been the most interesting thing left in a room? And there's a story that is told that when they checked the room, they found a copy of a book of How to Survive Depression, a pair of disposable nappies, and an object which was identified as a willy warmer. Now, I do not want to go down in history for my only 15 minutes of fame as somebody who is an authority on willy warmers, but a willy warmer is something that is crocheted or knitted, and it fits snugly around the male genitalia. Now, the first time I told this story, there was nothing on Wikipedia. But now, if you go onto Wikipedia, you'll find that the willy warmers were knitted by people living in the islands off the Faroe Islands. I think there is a version from somewhere in old Yugoslavia as well. But they were a very popular novelty gift back in the sort of the 40s and 50s and 60s. And when I've spoken at some of the functions at the hotel, people would go, "Oh, Mr. Park, I have a patent for a crocheted willy warmer." And it's very funny to look at a person who's, you would think the last person to be crocheted a willy warmer, but there they are, they do it.
Oh, my goodness. So because you told me to do this, I've gone straight to the Wikipedia page, and there are other... other gems such as it was claimed that in 1991 Prince Charles received a green knitted warmer one Christmas, which was stored with other unusual gifts in the cellar at Highgrove House. Fantastic.
Yeah, I've heard that story. And in fact, people used to knit them in their favourite football colours. This is a bit of a cheeky story, but I was speaking to a very large group, essentially women. And I told this story, and they were all laughing away and as they were tucking into the scones and jam and cream. And a lady sort of said, "Oh, I have a pattern for this." And it was about the third interruption I've had from the floor with someone offering a pattern. I said, "Oh, and madam, at what stage do you measure up?" Well, that brought the house down. So they all laughed. People have great fun at the Windsor Hotel. It's just a very warm, welcoming place. And in fact, for your listeners who have been there, you'll know exactly what they'll know what I'm saying. You go in; it's like going into a grand Victorian house because there are Chesterfield couches, and it's very, very comfortable. And as soon as you sit down and enjoy the coffee and the tea and whatever, you feel at home. You feel at home. Those are the two words I'd use.
Yeah, now listen to this, Kenneth. This is from Tony in Campbelltown on the SMS. He says, "I went to a Liberal Party fundraiser hosted by Peter Jansen at the Windsor. I was amazed to meet Peter's pet dingo in the penthouse."
Oh yes. There is a story he had several dogs, and one of the, I think it was the dingo, But don't quote me on it. At one stage, he was doing renovations up there, and he bashed his hammer and made a lot of noise, and the dog fell from the tower and sailed through the air, and it hit the ground with a yelp, and that was it. Oh, very sad story.
Oh, it died? But, you know, oh, God.
I don't think it was. I think it was hobbling around. I don't think it survived.
Oh, okay. Oh.
But the sad thing is, Suzanne, there's a person that walks around, I think it was a lady, walks around Melbourne wondering if it rains cats and dogs.
Now, we are talking to Kenneth Park. Aren't these stories wonderful? He's a tour guide and hotel historian. He's telling us all about the Hotel Windsor in Melbourne as part of our hotel check-in series. Now, I believe that the current owners are the Halim Group, who are an Indonesian family who bought it in 2005. There are some plans for redevelopment. What can you tell us about that?
Well, there's not much I can really say. At one stage, there was going to be a tower constructed at the back of the hotel, which would have had quite an impact on being able to offer more extensive facilities and so forth. But that has not come to pass. So I'm not sure what the longer-term strategy is. But at the moment, the hotel's doing very, very well. It's a hotel of just under 200 rooms. So it's not huge. And, of course, there are wonderful suites and also different rooms of different levels and so forth. And it's chugging along quite nicely because, as I said, it's very close to Melbourne's theatre land. That's the Princess and there's the Madge around the corner. And it's a quintessential Melbourne experience to stay at the Windsor, at least go to have afternoon tea.
So is it very expensive and exclusive?
No, I wouldn't say that because we're in a very competitive environment. The hotel has great internet deals. I mean, I'm always impressed when I chat to somebody there and they say, oh, yes, I've got this great deal on the internet. It's very good value for money. And the afternoon tea is a great treat to take someone to enjoy. And it's comparable with other establishments in town, but it's not excessively expensive. I hope the general manager is listening to me now.
And so when you do your tours, I mean, do you do a tour just of the hotel?
Well, it depends. It's been a bit strange for the last 12 months, as you might gather, but I used to do a thing called Tour Tea and Tales. So I usually take people to one of the big suites, and then I will take them into the more modern section and show them one of the lovely corner rooms which overlooks Parliament, and then we'll walk around the hotel. I'll take them up to where Peter Jansen's suite used to be, and then we come down and tuck into a beautiful afternoon tea. It's lovely.
All right, so and you're still running those now?
No, not at the moment.
No, so no, okay.
But the hotel, the hotel is also very good. They do them every now and again as well, especially when there's sort of something like the food festival or whatever. But I'm hoping that we'll be able to resurrect them once we get this, get ourselves operating properly. We'll see what happens in the future.
Of course. Well, Kenneth, what a pleasure to talk to you and hear some of these stories. And thanks for introducing us all to the Willy Warmer, which I really didn't know about.
it's a wonderful little story, but yes, do come and have a look at the Windsor, folks, and you'll be very impressed. Just come into the front door, you always get a warm welcome, and have a little look in that lovely lounge and perhaps be tempted by afternoon tea, let alone staying in the wonderful old Windsor.
All right,
beautiful
Kenneth,
day.
Thank you so much. Kenneth Park is a tour guide and hotel historian. We will pop this up on the page for you. Sorry, the internet website. That's the word that I'm looking for. If you've missed either of the other hotels we've talked about too, the Hotel Ritz and Chateau Marmont, they're available as podcasts and on our website as well. What a great story.